Hey everybody, this is Roy Blythe. I'm in the Channel 9, Channel 10 studio today, and I actually honestly don't know if I've ever been in here before, but we're doing a series of videos on CRM, and I'm getting to host this one. Charles Touré just went out the door, and it was nice to see him and all that, but it's my turn. And what are we doing? Like, what's going on here? Exactly.
We're just hanging out here this afternoon and talking about CRM.
Okay.
That's really what we're doing.
So. Let's move that forward.
Let's move it forward?
From the hanging out to the actual talking about CRM part.
It's really all we do. We hang out, we build software, you know, it's what we do, man. It's what we do.
Okay. Well, specifically, I guess everybody's seen the introductory video in which a lot of the functionality of CRM was explained, talked about, and all that. And we're going to, if I understand correctly, we're going to move down into the developer.
Yeah, let's talk a bit more about, like, where a developer's going to start off, you know, some of bit more of the schema authoring, and then we might jump into Visual Studio and take a look at that. You know, I think that's... You've done a fair bit of work in Visual Studio before, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've used it.
You've built a business app, right? It's been a while, man.
I've closed it down. I've done all sorts of fascinating things with it. Well, you're the one who knows this stuff inside out, right?
Sure. That's what they tell me.
Can we look? Can we see stuff?
That's what I tell my boss, anyway. So. Okay, well, let's take a look. I mean, we're sure with Charles, like, some of the basic UI with the Outlook and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to jump straight into the schema authoring. And in the last example, we actually built that new video entity to track the kind of work that Charles might do in Channel 9, for example. So we're just going to scroll down and grab that. So all we did there before is we created a new one. We filled in a couple of details on this screen here with videos. And we said, hey, we want it to be offline. And we want to track some emails against it. That's all we did. I think we added an attribute as well. So we're going to go through and add a bunch of, like, sort of attributes to these types of videos. So let's just go and decide whether we sort of like the video. So we'll just sort of say, what was the quality like? Because I imagine you guys do a video and you go, you know, that one was really lousy. Right?
So I don't think I can talk about that.
We'll just say low, medium, high, right?
Or just medium and high.
Medium and high?
Oh, come kidding, on. Yeah.
And then hot. Right?
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Good review score. You know? So we got some values. Come on, we'll be nice. We'll say the hot is the default. You know, we're happy with that. It's a really basic bit of schema generation. Now, as I mentioned to Charles before, we're actually multilingual, so we get a translation experience for this if you're running multiple languages and all that kind of stuff, because a lot of people like to run CRM across different countries, or they have different languages in their workforce, especially in Europe, for example, where you might want to run two languages on the same implementation. We take care of all that stuff for you as well. So let's add something in here, maybe like how much money did we spend? So maybe a cost. Like, you guys have, like, what is it, $5 per video or something? I don't know. The studio looks pretty expensive, though. I don't know who paid for this.
Well, the studio was costly, yes, that's true. Yeah. The camera's
pretty crazy.
You got it used on eBay.
So realistically, like, you're not going to spend more than $1,000 on a video, maybe more like $100 on a video.
It's actually a really interesting question. I'd never thought about it.
Never thought about how much guys you spend.
It's kind of. This will probably come up during my review.
So. Yeah, it probably will. It's probably been, like, way overspending.
You know what's neat about this that I have to comment on is usually when I look at a tool, I'm thinking about how it works and what's going on, and you were just kind of talking through it, tapping around, and it seemed pretty effortless.
Yeah, and I'm actually provisioning all the metadata and all the storage for this as it's going on. So it's going into my SQL database, into my middle tier, and going, hey, I need to know this stuff about costs and mins and max, and I also need this SQL type where I want to store all this data. And it's taking care of it all within this production running system, because it's off still groveling all my email coming in, and Barry and Praveen, they're off hitting this as well, and members of my team. So all nice and safe. So maybe we'll add something else, which is, hey, like, when did we film it? So we want a date, typical kind of thing, grab some daytime. Date only. Actually, we want date and time. We want to know date and time. We have a input method editor, if you like the deal with Japanese applications, very important. And when are we going to publish it on Channel 9?
You mean like a date?
Yeah, like a published date.
You're giving my boss ideas.
Yeah, I'm probably making your life a complete nightmare with this, actually. I'm good date and time. And I'm good with that. And I can come back and edit these before, so... I actually selected a really stupid IME mode for that filming date, so it's really easy just to open it up and change it. And because it's smart, it's pretty simple, it doesn't offer me more choices than I actually need. So the type of user that might be doing this is like a business analyst, right, or a power user or someone like that. You know, developers can also access this completely via an API. Mm-hmm. So if they want to package this up and just point their customizations at it, no problems. I can also export these out into XML and then give it to you if you have your own system. And then maybe between dev and production and pre-production and all that kind of testing environments, it also works great there as well. So we've got this bunch of schema out here, and we could add, say, a relationship. So how we want to say, who was the camera person? Because sometimes you guys use a second camera guy, right? You might have Charles, right? And that might be one of our users.
Yeah, no, there are things that are probably...
Am I just spoiling your entire process now?
Yeah, I'm the camera person.
So we've got a camera person, and that's one of the users. And, you know, we might want to show, hey... Natural show up under the users. So hey, you could go into each user and just know what videos they were the camera person on.
It would be equal to the number of videos we interviewed on.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. Well, you know, I've seen you guys do a couple where there's been two of you. Right?
That's true, yeah. It's been a couple like that.
So now I just want to go and I should hide that big ugly XML that was left on my other tab. Now I want to go in and I want to create that form. So we get a little format by default that we actually threw together with Charles. So, you know, we don't like this modified on. Let's just get rid of that. The status, that doesn't interest me. I want to add... I can add an extra...
Did Charles want you to put those fields in?
No, okay. I picked that random. Charles liked the description.
I was going to make fun of him.
You know, you were kind of reluctant, and so Charles was looking at this like, he's like, oh, I really want to build this. This looks really good. So it's kind of interesting. So I can add an extra tab, like, you know, I can just name the tab. And it's really simple. I can just move that back and forth. So just think of, once again, we're a web-based style environment, business analyst, power user, they're building something really simple. So let's go and add those fields in. So we're going to get camera person, cost, what else do we do? When did we film it, and when did we publish it? And what's the quality of it? That looks good. And this is what I like to call the puzzle game, right? I can move stuff around. I can go, you know, I don't like that one. Let's get rid of that. I can actually go in and say, every time I change the quality, I can actually throw some JavaScript in there that I can execute. I can throw JavaScript when I open the form, when I close the form. I can do some cool stuff there as well. So I like these. I move them around. I'm going to have this thing called a section, and that's where I'm going to show up the description. So nice and easy. So the thing is, just within a few minutes, we can actually build up all this metadata and start publishing against it. So let's just add that description in there and just strip that label off. And we got a little form. Nice and easy.
And you can just save it and...
Yep, we're ready to go. So I'm just going to go publish. All this does is basically takes this metadata and just flips this little flag and says, hey, normal users can run in and start using this now.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't want to be like, you're halfway through the form and that guy's trying to save something. It kind of gets a little crazy. And we just flip back here. Now, we may need to F5 it because we love to cache things for performance. And we created this video for CRM, so we could open that before. This is just a record. And now I can go in and say, hey, how much is the cost? How much is the quality? Where's the film? We filmed it, you know, at this time.
And this is us as a user, pretty much.
It's just an end user. And we could say the cameraman for this was Barry. So we'll just do a little autocomplete, take care of that. And I can flag those activities. So I'm all running and going. I can create workflows against that. I can also come in and I've got all the import from Excel. All that's all working for me as well. I've got search and scalability. I can have millions and millions and millions of these video records and we'll scale no problems for that. So you're ready to go. But let's take a look at Visual Studio, right? Because that's ultra
really
basic,
desert,
really
huh?
quick yeah. experience that I might get my... So I got like a console application. So it's totally fresh. I've done nothing to it. It's just the default console app. Because I love the console app. It's kind of cool. It's retro. So the first thing I want to do is I want to grab a web reference. So I think I got one. So this is my... WSDL. And finding the WSDL is really easy if you're out there playing with CRM. We just give you a nice link to the WSDL. It'll just crunch away and just generate that WSDL. Now the WSDL is pretty big because we store all the schema for our entities, its relationships, all the typing, all our response request classes. It's a sort of a strong solar-based server, so it's quite a big fat WSDL, so you don't want to be grabbing this too often.
Right.
So we're going to download the WSDL and it just takes about 30 seconds. Just let it crunch away there. We'll grab whichever one comes first.
I will say that, as we were talking about before the camera turned on, I'm familiar with CRM,
yep.
but not necessarily Microsoft CRM Inside Out, because I've never had to really work with it. And, I mean, I like the whole look of it and the way that it's pretty easy to use, just because when I've been a user in the past,
yep.
I'm not mentioning any other company by name, but I have used another
CRM.
It's
a highly competitive landscape.
It is.
The way we
and,
think it.
But what I used... did not allow for that kind of... I mean, it was a mess. us. Yeah. I'm just going to be... I don't want to, like, hurt anybody or talk
smack.
Actually, but...
That's actually one thing that we like about the ability that, you know, say that form is a complete mess with that video, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to your administrator, who may just be your boss, maybe Jeff, for example, and say, hey, Jeff, you got to fix this form up. Everything's out of order. He can just go in and move those fields around. There's no re-release. There's no, like, all the other systems that are integrated through the web services and just pumping away at it. They're just going to keep pumping away as he just flips some of that metadata around. If he wants to add and extend that schema, no problems. Like, if you say, look, I really need an extra field to flag something, add it in, it's taken care of.
Nice.
And so that ability to sort of extend without worrying about getting into a redeployment, we think that's really, really nice for our app. So we got our WSDL. As you can see, we've got a whole bunch of basic methods. Everything's typically handled through the execute method, but we have these other methods that you can sort of use as well if that's your style. So we're going to add a web reference in, as you'd expect. So hopefully the demo gods will be kind to us today. This is using our CTP3. This is unreleased code.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Currently under NDA as we're filming this, but hopefully that will change soon is what they tell me. So we'll go into our little program.cs. So the first thing I'm going to do is just, you know, include our class, obviously, using console application 1.0 SDK. That's the name of my WSDL, of course. And then we've got some stuff called CRM demo, I believe is what we called it, video. So we know about the video entity, so we're going to create a video equals new video. Hey, but I've also got IntelliSense on publish,
yeah, like,
quality, stuff like that, right? So I'm going to have a new video called Rory's new video. And I think that's our only required field. We can put something in the description.
Do we have to escape that apostrophe?
No, that's just, we're just in C#, so we're good. And this works across anything you can program against the WSDL again. So if you love Java, no problems. If you love VB.NET, you're good. C# just happens to be the big Microsoft thing.
So I'm doing Python, I can just pull it in?
Yep, nice. It's not a problem. As long as you can get to the WSDL and all that kind of stuff, that's the important thing. If you can communicate to a normal standards-based web service, you're okay. So the quality is an interesting one. This is a special class called a pick list. And so the pick list stores in integers, so I'll just, like, put the pick list, and then I'll just set some values on the pick list. I can just do a value equals, and it's an integer. And we also have some other classes. For example, we have special classes like CRM number, for example. And we have a fully fledged nullable types implementation. I think I mentioned this to Charles, just to handle situations of saying, hey, when I'm setting this video or updating this video, am I not setting a particular property? But, you know, because some of these entities have like 100, 200 properties.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not setting a property or am I nulling a property out? And it's just more advanced than the standard native.NET one. So now all I have to do is I can just call the create. I can just create our CRM service. And then I can just call the create method. And I can just feed in that video. And that just inherits it. Now, I do need to do a few extra things to actually connect through to a thing we call the discovery service. This is something fairly new for Titan. So as a trade-off, this won't actually work because I haven't set up a bunch of authentication information that I do need to set up now. This is part of, like, we're multi-tenant, so we're sharing hardware. We've got our live. Do you know much about CRM Live? You guys heard about that?
I'm familiar with the idea, just kind of like I'm familiar with the idea.
Steve Ballmer talks about it a lot, yeah. That kind of stuff. So the CRM Live stuff, essentially, we're going to host this app that you've seen here. We're going to host it for you in Microsoft data centers. So you can buy it from us directly, or you can buy the app from a partner, or you can actually install the app.
Right.
So it's all three models. You can actually go and get this.
So is Live targeted toward a particular size of business?
It's typically a little of the low end,
but
we will see larger businesses come over to Live as well. It really depends on where they want to keep their data, how they're moving towards the software as a service world. So we consider that, you know, people are going to have an interesting mix of where they see software plus services in their org. So do they want a complete SaaS experience or a partial SaaS experience? Mm-hmm. And I think as we see the industry evolve over the next 10 years, we need to give choice to people about where they want to host their stuff. So you guys in Channel 9 could say, you know what? Those internal IT guys, and I'll get in trouble for saying this, I don't like those guys, I don't talk to them, they want all my money, and, you know, it's really problematic dealing with them or whatever it is, right? We're just going to pull out our corporate card, we're going to call up, Microsoft, or we're going to go to their website, and we're going to throw down the money, and we're going to get one of these CRM instances. And Charles is going to sit away there, like, creating his entities and his workflows. And, you know, Adam Kinney and those guys are going to be firing up, you know, Visual Studio and doing really cool connecting apps to it, you know, with Windows Live ID and all that kind of stuff going on. And you didn't have to prop a server or do anything like that at all.
Nice.
Just, like, dead simple. But you have this full, powerful developer experience, which is strongly typed. It's a proper object-oriented experience. I'm not swapping big, fat XML files and munging them and stuff like that. I get a proper coding experience. And also, I can also take this kind of logic, I can embed it within there as well, things we call callouts. So we can place DLLs within our running code process.
Hmm.
So every time an action happens, perform this special function when the updates, deletes,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. And we do that synchronously or asynchronously. And we handle all the storage a bit like a distributed GAC is the way to think about it. And we also have the Windows workflow stuff that I know Praveen is doing a separate video on, which is really cool. So you can, that same web-based authoring experience, you can get for workflows. So you can see cool things like that, and I think we might have a test workflow in the system here that actually shows, like, the status of that. So he's got one here that he's paused. And so you can actually build up really cool workflows like this that describe your business process. So this might be the workflow that describes actually how you do a video. And there's all this just stuff that you have to do, like these tasks and remind you to call some guy or call legal and all that kind of stuff. Because imagine you have some sort of process around it.
So no.
Not just you just charge your guys off and just go
up
there. But, you know, you have something and reminding you and being consistent about this is helpful.
And you have, I would imagine, also like another very, very nice like slick GUI for...
Yeah, so this is actually just the read-only version of the GUI. So when this
I select
the action, I drill in, I select the action, and then it locks itself. We can actually see that this process is up to sell, confirm the budget.
Hmm.
So the nice thing is there's a snapshot. Let's say you don't know anything about this business. You can quickly see I got a route, sell, you know, close the opportunity as one, and you can build up one of these in just a few minutes. It's really, really simple. So building these out, and we can build them over those custom video entities. So we, you know, the system at first, only a few minutes ago, it had no idea about what Channel 9 does, what your process is, where you want to tag stuff, and just you can easily start building this out. So we see it as typically Microsoft partners, they're there building line of business solutions and involved kind of, generally this kind of stuff is what people build IT apps for. And they don't necessarily want to build all the infrastructure. What they want to do is they want to build all the vertical business knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to go out and add the value that they know stuff a lot about and we at Microsoft don't really know much about. So whether it be, you know, military sort of applications or, you know, running a vineyard, for example, in this example. I mean, what do we at Microsoft know about running a vineyard operations? We know nothing, right? And we could go and research it and figure it out. But the partner who sells to those companies, they know all about
it.
And so they'll use this as the basis and go to market with it. So.
Well, all right, man. Thanks for having me out here. This was
cool.
Sort of a fun thing. And I don't usually do the you know, like the fancy studio stuff.
Kind of...
So I had a good time and I got to listen instead of talking a whole lot for once.
We build it so we don't do this kind of stuff. It's a big fancy for us. So.
Hey, man.
Thanks, man.
Oh, cool. We missed.
We missed.
Okay.